The scripture this morning comes from Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40. That's on page 955 in your pew Bible. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out on his way. He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasure of Candace, queen of Ethiopia. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading in the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go over to the chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked him. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains this to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer in silence. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from this earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why should not I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared to Jesus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. May God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Jane, and thank you, Francis and Kitty and Mary Earle, for the beautiful music this morning. And y'all thought we were through with looking through the glass, but this morning I want to talk about another window. A window that most everyone underlooks. Can you guess where that window might be? Actually, that was a nice try, but not quite under the steps, but it is under something, or better yet, behind something. In fact, this window has an open Bible and a crown, and you have to look up to see it. Very narrow opening, but if you go out the front doors, right behind the balcony, the arch window over the doors out front, with a Bible and a crown. Very simple. And yet, I think, foundational for understanding any of our windows, and better yet, foundational for seeking to understand how we can share the good news of God and God's grace with anyone. And so the other week, I had almost forgotten that window, and I thought, we're going to do the 15th window. A window that challenges us to really look sometimes harder than we would like to find the message that we need to share. Sometimes looking in places that we're not so familiar with which we are not so familiar. In order to come to a point where we can understand these other stories even more deeply, and where we can understand our role in helping people to find their way to God and eventually to that crown of life. Crown of life that William mentioned this morning, but not just the crown of life when we die and go to heaven, but the crown of life that allows us to live here on this earth as God would have us to live. And so when I thought about that, for some reason, and I don't dare question it, but for some reason the first passage that came to mind was Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And I looked for other passages, and this one came back up again. So I said, okay, we'll use this passage today because it asks a key question. How can I understand? That's what the eunuch was wondering. We touched a little bit on that last week, how we can understand, but I want to go a little deeper with it this week. So here is the situation. Philip, one of those 12 disciples about whom we really do not know a whole lot from the biblical text early on in the New Testament. Philip is out traveling. He was known also as Philip the Evangelist, the one who shared that good news, that euangelion, that good news of God in Christ. And as Philip was going out along a desert road, the Spirit influenced him. Now, with Luke, the Spirit is very, very important. If you look throughout the Gospel of Luke, you find that Jesus is filled with the Spirit. He's led by the Spirit. He dispenses the Spirit. He's conceived by the Spirit. If you look over in the book of Acts, we have constant mention of the Spirit, not just at Pentecost, but even beyond. Luke wants people to understand when they read these accounts that this is not just happenstance. God indeed has some influence within the world, and God's Spirit is present, just as Jesus promised. And so he is led by the Spirit out in the wilderness on this road to go up to this chariot, which is moving along slowly. And so Philip hustles along, and it had to be moving very slowly for him to catch up with it. And as he approaches, he hears someone reading, and he recognizes that this person is reading from what Christians call the Old Testament, what the Jews knew as Scripture. Now, this particular man was an Ethiopian eunuch. He took care of the treasury of, some people say Candace was the name of the queen. My particular translation says he was in the employ of the Candace, which was a queen, and may very well have been a queen that was Candace at that point in time. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he's returning home, and he's reading from the Scriptures. He's reading from Isaiah, and he's wondering what this means and about whom this passage speaks. And he doesn't know, because he, as a eunuch, according to the law, can never enter the temple. If you go to Deuteronomy, you will find a lot of prohibitions. And one of those involves eunuchs. And that they cannot be admitted to the temple. They cannot be considered among the sons of Abraham. Eunuchs were used for a wide range of jobs, but a lot of times they were made eunuchs in order to watch over the harem of a king, because the king would know the eunuch would not be able to, and would not even have any desires to bother any woman in the harem. This particular one had worked his way up to being over the treasury of the Candace. But he had gone to Jerusalem hoping to worship. The closest he would have been able to get to the temple, the closest he would have been able to get to worship, was the outer court of the Gentiles. He would have been considered unclean and like a Gentile, could not go any further, could not even go into the court of the women. Now, there was a sign before you left the court of the Gentiles that said any Gentile who was not a proselyte, that is a convert to Judaism, who went in any further risked his life. This man wanted so much to worship that he made a trip from Ethiopia all the way to Jerusalem just to stand in the court of the Gentiles, hoping to hear something that would lift his spirit. Hoping to hear something and find something that would allow him to feel the presence of God. And so he went there. He made that arduous journey. I mean, it wasn't even just down the street. He made that long, arduous journey to get there. He spent time there, probably 2 to 3 days. And then he was on his way back to Ethiopia. And as he's going through the wilderness, as he's going through the desert, he's reading, wondering what all of this means. Philip then is led by the Spirit, instructed by the Spirit, to go catch up with this chariot. And when he hears the reading, Philip says, "Do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand what you are reading?" And the eunuch replies, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" He had gone to the temple for guidance and had received none because he was cut off from worship. And yet that desire remained with him to continue to learn, to try and gain some insight even on his own. Philip was invited in. Notice, Philip didn't step up into the chariot on his own. The eunuch sensed something different about Philip. And Philip was invited into the chariot. The man said, "How can I understand unless someone guides me? Unless someone explains it to me? Unless someone teaches me?" As an aside, someone taught each of us, whether it was in Sunday school, whether it was in Vacation Bible School, and we still need folks to help, or whether it was somewhere else, someone taught us. And here this man desired it and couldn't receive it. And he invites Philip up just on the chance, with the hope that Philip can explain it and help him to understand. We're told the passage, which comes from Isaiah chapter 53. "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. And who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said, "I don't understand who this is about. For many within Judaism, the suffering servant was the nation of Israel." And here he says, is the prophet speaking about himself, or is he speaking about someone else? And the text says in verse 35, "Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch then said, 'Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?' And we know that he is baptized." But note what happened. Philip started with this scripture. And the text says he began to proclaim the good news about Jesus. He opened the eunuch to the scriptures. But he also opened the eunuch's mind to the scriptures. If you recall last week, we talked about the fact that said that Jesus, right before the ascension, on the road to Emmaus, had opened the scriptures to those two disciples who were walking along, and after he left, they said, "Oh, Jesus has been here with us." And last week, as we were talking, we found in the passage that the text said that he opened their minds to the scriptures. The first thing he did was open the scriptures and begin telling them and explaining. But then that resulted in their minds being opened. Why? Because suddenly they needed to know and they wanted to know. Here we have this eunuch who needs to know and who wants to know, who tremendously desires to know. And Philip opens the scriptures to that open mind that is seeking. And so once again, how can we understand? A part of that is coming with an open mind to the scriptures and allowing the scriptures then to be opened to us. But wait a minute. The eunuch couldn't worship in the temple. How could he become a Christian, a follower? How could he worship? Well, it just so happens that in Isaiah, and many scholars probably think that among what the scriptures that might have been opened may have come from Isaiah chapter 56, because the eunuch is allowed the good news to come in. And if you read Isaiah 56 starting in verse 3, and this is once again a passage which relates to God in the Messiah. Early on it said, "Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from His people.' And do not let the eunuch say, 'I am just a dry tree,' for thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant. I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to Him, to love the name of the Lord," once again speaking of the Messiah, "and to be His servants, and all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." Sound familiar? Jesus said that when He cleansed the temple. "Thus says the Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered." And Philip opened the scriptures and told the eunuch that this had happened in Jesus of Nazareth. God had fulfilled what the prophet had spoken. And what the eunuch was reading was the fulfillment of that promise. The eunuch had been forbidden access to the temple, had been forbidden access to learning from the rabbis. And Philip said, if you believe, and if you commit yourself to that belief that Jesus is Messiah and God has brought that to fulfillment in Him for you and for any who will come, no matter the outcast, you may enter God's kingdom. You will not be shut out. Rather, you will be welcomed and will receive an everlasting name from God. You will receive, in our window out there, that crown of life. The crown of life that goes through eternity, but the crown of life that is available to now, this time, to the now, to the here and now. And he explained that good news in Jesus. The eunuch accepted it, and as they were coming alongside, out here in the desert, they come alongside a stream near an oasis. And the eunuch says, "What prevents me from being baptized?" And the chariot stopped, and Philip and the eunuch went down into the waters, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, Philip was taken away by the Spirit. Now that doesn't necessarily mean he was teleported. That means that he was led from that place to someplace else. The eunuch never saw him again in this life, but the eunuch had seen him as much as he needed to. For Philip had other places to go and share that good news and open the Scriptures to understanding. Something else that is important here is not that baptism was necessary for the eunuch to be saved, but baptism, which was the entrance into the church, was given to this eunuch to remind him and to remind us that when we open ourselves to that understanding and when we truly accept God in Christ, we are accepted by God. We have free access to God. We have free access to worship, something that the eunuch was denied in Judaism, something that women were denied in Judaism to a great extent, something that all kinds of other folks who were considered outcasts according to the law were denied. When we truly understand, we are accepted and we are given that access to God that sometimes even we deny ourselves. But that's not the end of it all. The eunuch went back to tell what he had come to understand and to continue to learn and understand so that he could share even more. So how can we understand? First of all, we open our minds and our hearts both to God and God's leading. Secondly, we continue to study the Scriptures. And not just on the surface, or not just, well, I've studied this once before, and it'll come around again in the Sunday school literature in a couple of years, and we'll pick it up again then. But to regularly study the Scriptures, to dig deeper with an open mind and an open Scripture. To find within our hearts and our minds that free access that God gives to us. And then, as we live that crown of life, we answer someone else's question, how can I understand? And like Philip, we open the Scriptures. The Scriptures that we dig into that become a part of our everyday living. And we explain how in Christ God makes things new. How in Christ God takes away barriers. How in Christ we are accepted and loved, and they can be accepted and loved. How can I understand if no one guides me? The eunuch said. How can our neighbors, our co-workers, our children, our fellow students in class, or that stranger on the street ever understand unless someone guides them? They can't unless we look up to the Scriptures and understand the crown of life and of living. Look through the glass and find all that we need to understand. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You that You give us minds and hearts with which to seek not only Your face, but to seek to understand those things which will help us to live lives worthy of that crown. Give us guidance. Give us commitment. Commitment to studying, commitment to learning, and commitment to sharing. so that others may understand. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is 680, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. That doesn't just mean down an aisle, but that means in understanding God's Scripture and understanding our lives as Christians and in living those lives from start to finish and even beyond. As we sing, our altar is open for any who would make any kind of decision for Christ to become part of this fellowship or to recommit to understanding and to sharing. Hymn number 680, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.